my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. I like school. I always have. It doesn't mean there weren't times I found it stressful or overwhelming or boring, but overall, I've always felt at home in an academic context. And that's a good thing and probably not terribly surprising considering the significant proportion of time I've spent as a student in these first 3 decades of my life. There's one part of school, though, that I consistently disliked: group projects. I dreaded the assignment that would force me to coordinate with a group of fellow students, to find time to get together and work, to ensure as a group that everyone was on track, to work together to synthesize the final product and make compromises along the way, and, worst of all, to be graded as a group. Now, I understand the pedagogy behind group projects. I even assigned a couple of them when I was teaching. And it's true that I use collaboration and communication skills frequently in the real world. But none of that really changes how I personally feel about group work. Suffice it to say, I sometimes need a reminder about the importance of being part of a larger team. And when I do, I would do well to look at today's reading from Romans. Paul's words here teach us important lessons about how to live in the world as children of God. And one of those lessons is that we are all part of a larger community. We who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are all members of one another. We are meant to function together. We all have different strengths and weaknesses that together form a greater whole. At its best, with everyone fully living into his or her giftedness in the context of community, we can function as the kingdom of God. That is what we're striving for, but we aren't there yet. I think more often living as the body of Christ looks like most of my group projects, a chore where labor seems unequally distributed, disagreements are likely to break out, and resentment can creep in. That's where transformation from the earlier part of the passage becomes key. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. This was a favorite passage in my evangelical high school, where it was often quoted as a reminder to avoid becoming too worldly, where to be Christian was to be separate from the world. I don't think this is quite right. I think our place as Christians is very much grounded in the world, but I think Paul is right in noting that the way of Jesus is not always the way of living we learn from the world. And that's as true now as it was 2 millennia ago. The world tells us to strive always for success, if not perfection, to work on a perfectly aligned career trajectory, to sculpt our bodies and dress them according to the particular rules of our social circles, to raise a certain number of children in a particular way. Perhaps because there are so many opportunities for making mistakes in this particular model, the world also tells us to be afraid. To be afraid of change, afraid of difference, afraid of loss, afraid of failure. The world tells us we must hold tightly to what we have because resources are scarce. This is not the way of God. The way of God tells us first that we are loved unconditionally, beyond measure and knowing. The way of God tells us that we live in abundance, and an economy of scarcity is neither necessary nor helpful. The way of God tells us that we all have work to do, and that we have been given the grace to do it. These gifts we have been given are not only present within every one of us, but are necessary for the furthering of God's kingdom. Living in this reality is transformational, and it allows us to answer some of life's most important and challenging questions. What is God's will? What am I meant to do? Whom am I meant to become? The words discernment and vocation have been a regular part of my vocabulary for nearly a decade, in a context where their meaning is often particularly charged. The process of considering a call to ordained ministry in the Episcopal Church is referred to as a discernment process, and vocation, a word that comes from the Latin vocare, to call, is frequently used in the context of religious professions or callings. But the truth is, we are all called by God. We all have vocations, and we must all use discernment to reveal what these vocations are. There is overlap between vocation and career. Some of us are called to be doctors, writers, teachers, consultants, homemakers, or priests. But our vocations, our callings, are bigger than how we make our living, bigger even than how we fill our days. Our calling has to do with our very identity, with whom God intends for us to be, to become. One of the ways we can come to know our vocation is through desire. God uses our natural attractions, predilections, and longings to guide us to the work we are meant to do. And these desires also guide us to the people we are to become. We all have these desires. Perhaps you would like to be more generous or more thoughtful. Perhaps you would like to complain less or speak up more. These desires are part of our call, part of our vocation. But it is important to use discernment, to seek God and to ask to have your deepest and most important longings revealed. When we're conformed to the world, our desires can be warped. We are aware only of our surface wants, those things that bring us closer in line with a worldly image of perfection, things that we think will make us happy, but ultimately lack meaning. Only as people who are being transformed can we begin to become aware of our deepest, realest yearnings, the things that shape our lives, that move us, that make us more fully who we truly are. These deep yearnings, and the tools to see them fulfilled, are gifts of grace from God. But we must do the hard work of unearthing them, and the risky work of stepping out in faith to use or pursue them. It is when we do this work, though, that we come into a new way of living, God's way of living, and our whole selves become an expression of devotion to God, living sacrifices in spiritual worship. This is God's plan for us, a fulfilling and holy life. And when we recognize that as individuals we all have different gifts, different and interconnected callings, and embrace this difference, we become a transformed community, God's sacred family. This is our life in the community of the church. And in this context, I would challenge each of you to consider the ways you are called within the St. John's community, ways you may already be serving, or ways you might be called to participate in the future. We are all part of the body of Christ, but the community of God is larger than our congregation. It extends to the church as a whole, and, I would say, to the whole human family. We are all connected, our lives bound up with one another's. If we live with this transformed perspective, how can we help but to see the world with compassion, to strive for justice, to seek and serve Christ in all persons? It is not always fun to live in this kind of community. It can be difficult to accept both our own gifts and those of others. It can be especially difficult to acknowledge that those we dislike and disagree with have within them gifts just as important and necessary as our own to do kingdom work. Just as I don't like group projects in school, I don't always like being part of the group endeavor of living. But catching glimpses of what this kingdom work can look like makes it worth the struggle. This is our work as Christians, as the church, as children of God. And as we gather at God's table in this transformed and transforming community, may we all be strengthened and encouraged to do the work God has given us to do. Amen.